Good morning, people. Good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before. Say, this is life.
This is life.
I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. That was good.
Yes.
You know, Christmas is coming up, and I guess today has been kind of set aside as a time to remember our Savior being born. You know, it was prophesied in the Old Testament and also written about in the New Testament about our Savior being born. That He was coming. That He was coming. And we all, you know, I know we're all churchgoers as far as we come to church and we live our lives to the best of our ability, pleasing unto Him. But you know what? Never forget that your Savior was born. And He was born for a purpose. That's just like us. We were all born upon this earth. We're all born for a purpose. Number one, to live our lives that are pleasing unto Him. Number one. But then also, we need to figure out, Lord, give us direction and help in what You want us to accomplish directly according to my life or your life for Him. You know, Christmas time, you know, it's a great time. You know, it's a time of warmth, you know, love, giving, sharing with each other. You know, I've never seen such, you know, at Christmas time where people give. They just, it's something about the spirit of giving. And it all goes back to Christ. It all goes back to Christianity of giving, giving of their lives, giving, you know, just people, you know, saying Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays or whatever it is, you know, whatever it is. But just having their hearts tender, it seems like, a little bit tender towards maybe the things of God. Yes, they may remember, you know, family and friends that may not be with us anymore to celebrate this year. But yet they have a hope of where those family members are. And that's with Him, with Christ, our Lord and Savior. Yes, we yearn to see them, but yet we know one day we will be with Him. Just a great time of the year, people, a great time of the year. Remember, 2 weeks ago, I spoke on Mary and how the Spirit of God came upon her and she conceived the Messiah. And how that was a miraculous thing, people, because it was all by the Holy Spirit. Jesus had nothing, zero from Mary and zero from Joseph. It was all she was like an incubator, carried, and how God had chose her, because He could have chosen anybody, whoever He wanted to, but He chose her. And in the scripture it says, Lord, Your will be done. A young girl, not married. And in those days, stoning was the option. And she took on that God would take care of her. Last week we talked about the wise men and how they took the gifts after Jesus had been born, and between 6 and 2 years of age, they were at another place where they looked to the star that shone abroad when He was born, and they followed that star. And how we need to keep our eyes upon the star, people. Keep our eyes upon Jesus. Keep our eyes upon the Messiah. Don't let your eyes get on the things of this world. He'll destroy us. He'll destroy you. But keep our eyes upon Him, and God will bring about the things that we need. And the wise men looked to the star, and they followed it to where they found the Messiah. And when they got there, they gave gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh unto the Savior of the world, because they were pleased and they want to honor Him in who He is. I want you to turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 7, please. Isaiah chapter 7. It would be page 1112 if you have expositor's Bible. Look at verse 3, first starting there. It says, "Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, you, and Sherishatho, your son, at the end of conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fool's field." Here we see, I'm going to just stop there for just a minute. Ahaz was king of Judah. Okay. I said, what does this have to do with the Messiah? You didn't see it. Ahaz was king of Judah. But Ahaz was not a good king. He was a wicked king. He did things that were not according to the word of God. He lived a life that was not pleasing unto the Lord. But God repeatedly would go after him, constantly trying to bring him to repentance. That's just like us, how God the Holy Spirit comes and says, Joe, you said myself, now you need to take care of this right here. You need to ask forgiveness in this area. You know how God works upon our hearts. Even though Ahaz was king of Judah, God was constantly working upon this man. He would bring him to places and do things, and the prophet would come, and God would speak to the prophet Isaiah, and Isaiah would go and speak to him and tell him, thus saith the Lord, this is what God is saying unto you. And many times this man got close to giving his life to the Lord, but he never did it. He never did it. It says that as he was king wicked, the northern kingdom was coming after Ahaz, the king of Judah, and was trying to dethrone him from the position that God had placed him in. I said, well, why would God place this evil man there? Because there was a promise that was made. You might say, what do you mean? God made a promise to David, King David. Remember King David? It says the man after God's own heart. God said that his lineage would be upon the throne till at least the birth of Christ. And God kept his promise because the king of Judah was of the lineage of David. Look, I'm telling you this. God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises, even if it's made in the Old Testament or the New Testament. When God speaks, when God moves, when God does certain things, if he promises you something through the word of God, he will do it no matter what. It may not be at your timing, it may not be at my timing, but it's at the timing of the Father and what he wants. He keeps his promises because they were coming after this man and trying to destroy him and put another man that wasn't of the lineage of David. But God keeps his word. But God keeps his word. Even though the enemy comes at you, even though the enemy will say things that aren't true, God will defend you because he has put things in motion on your behalf. And when God speaks a word, that word will come forth no matter what. The power of Almighty God. The presence of Almighty God. You might say, well, what do you mean? Look at this. God keeps his promises, people. Look at Isaiah chapter 7, that same chapter. Isaiah is prophesying to the king, Judah. And he's telling him certain things. And he said, "Hear you now, O house of David. It is a small thing for you to weary men. But will you weary my God also?" And what Isaiah, what he's saying is that you can't weary my God. He keeps his promises. You can't make my God tired. You can't overthrow my God. And then God says to the people, this is in the Old Testament. Thousands, Jesus was born over 2,000 years ago. This is way before that. In the Old Testament, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years ago. And look at this. It says in verse 14, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, my Lord. God was saying to the king of Judah, I'm going to keep my promise. You will be king. And no one will be able to come against you. Don't get weary of the things that God has given you. Don't get weary, king, because my son is coming. Jesus is about to come. Emmanuel, God with us. Look at this. He said he would be upon the throne, the king of Judah, no matter what. And no one that comes against him could take him out. God is a God of promises, people. When he promises something to you, it is done. You can bank on it. When he says he's your great provider, he is the great provider. When he says that he can deliver us from the enemy, he can deliver us from the enemy. When God says, I can give you direction, that means he can give us direction because he keeps his promises unto us. That's the power of Almighty God. In Isaiah, it talks about the Savior of the world coming, Emmanuel, God with us. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son and call his name Emmanuel. God, which means God with us. Look, God keeps his promises. When God says, when you, your household shall be saved, that's God's promise. We can bank on it. I say, what will God have to do? He'll have to do a lot, but he can do it. When God says he can move mountains, that means he can move the mountains. That means there's nothing impossible with God. And he can make a way where there seems to be no way. Judah was, the king was weary. Have you ever gotten weary? That's when you're the most vulnerable to the enemy. And he wears and wears and throws things at you. But God will send an Isaiah to you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You might say, well, a prophet hadn't come told me anything. God may give you the prophet saying out of the word of God. Yeah. As you're reading his word, yeah, to encourage you. He might give you a prophet saying, when you hear a song on the radio, that just blesses your heart, that encourages all this, your spirit on the inside. Or he might give you a person where you work or where you're at to come and just speak a word of encouragement and help to you.
Yeah.
Or you might be in a store and you're just walking around and doing what you normally do, and God will send somebody around that corner and to share something with you. Or you might get something in the mail that encourages your heart. My Lord, what a God we serve. Those are the prophet Isaiah's sayings unto us. The God is saying, look, the promises that I give you, I will bring it about on your behalf if you continue my word, if you continue to seek me, if you continue to look to me. Just as he prophesied Isaiah to the king, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, you will be king, and no one will be able to dethrone you or take you out because of the promises that I have given unto my servant David, King David. And sure enough, he stayed as king, people. The promises of God. You can rest assured, people, that what God speaks, it's done. It's done. In the Old Testament, he said he was sending a Savior. And how we need it. Just for a second, I want you to think of this. If Jesus would not have come, where would we be? Because you see, when we all got saved, we said, Jesus, you're my God, my Lord. Forgive me of all my sins. And help me to live a life that is pleasing to you. We receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We're reconciled back to God because of Jesus and what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. Just think if Jesus was never born. Where would we be? Though you might think, well, the world would be in chaos, number one. You might think, well, isn't it in chaos now? Well, the light of the gospel, because of Jesus Christ, has stifled that to a certain time. But God keeps his promises. No matter what is going on in your heart and life, you can rest assured that he will take care of it. That the unsettling of things on the inside that seem to not go right, that God says he'll give peace to his people. Peace, peace, I leave with you, as the scripture says. The power of Almighty God, God keeps his promises, no matter what. The devil will try to tell you, look, God doesn't keep his word. He might have told you something, but you can forget about it. Let me tell you, when you read something in that word and it speaks to you, and God, the Holy Spirit says it's for you, you can rest assured the God of peace is going to make it happen for you. You can rest because he keeps his promises. He's a man of his word. You know, have you ever, you know, years ago, you know, when two people, you know, you didn't have all these contract stuff. I mean, you know, you go to buy a house and you have to sign 50 pages. I mean, you run out of ink, you know, it's like, okay, you know, to cover everybody. Years ago, that, you know, that wasn't that much. It was a handshake. You shook the hand of that man or whatever, and it was bonding. That's what it took. God has made a contract with humanity through his son, Jesus Christ. And God is saying this: whatever I speak to my son, whatever he says, I will back it up. Whatever he says, whatever promises he calls, he tells you will happen, it will happen. All we got to do is keep our trust in Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. Jesus was born 2,000 years ago, people, for us. It wasn't for the dog down the road. It wasn't for the tree down the road. It wasn't for all those things. And yes, those are all good things. We need those things, you know. We like our pets, you know. But I tell you what, Jesus didn't come for that. Because when those pets die, those trees fall and topple over, that's it. It's humanity. It's men and women, boys and girls that have a soul on the inside that lives forever. That's why Jesus came and was born. To bring salvation back to humanity, which was lost in Genesis with Adam and Eve, when they sinned. But to bring us back into that relationship to them, the power. And God, from the time Jesus died on the cross, and the blood was brought before the Father, and he accepted it as payment for all sins of the past, present, and the future. From that day forward, over 2,000 years ago, still, as men and women call out to God, is that same Spirit that comes and dwells on the inside of us, the same. All because God keeps his word. God keeps his promises, no matter what. I want to encourage you, 2020 is coming up. Let's do mighty exploits for the kingdom of God. We end with the birth of our Lord and Savior. My Lord, what a great day. You might say, well, you know, actually, people ask me, you know, was Jesus actually born on December 25th? No, he wasn't. That's not true. But that's okay. And we know that because of certain feasts and certain things. But Jesus, the world recognizes that our Savior was born. Our Savior was born. What a promise he made. Can you imagine? God made a promise in the Old Testament saying the Savior's coming. And finally the Savior came. God has made another promise that he's coming back for us. Are you ready? Are you ready? Jesus is coming back for his coming. And 1 Thessalonians it says that the trumpet will blow. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the air. Then so shall we ever be with him in the heavens, or with him, wherever he's at. Because he'll be in heaven, and he'll come upon the earth. But Jesus is coming for us. Let's not forget the birth of our Savior. Let's not forget the death of our Savior, which brought life to humanity, and what Jesus is coming back for us. Don't get so entangled with the world. Hey, look, we have to live in the world. Hey, look, good. You know, but let's not get so entangled that we forget our mission. And our mission is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and to get people saved. Look at this. I want you to turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 2, please. Luke chapter 2. He promised it in the Old Testament, and now we see it fulfilled. Luke chapter 2, verse, starting with verse 1. Luke chapter 2, page 1760. It says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went out from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped up in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them. Here Luke writes about the birth of our Lord and Savior. Now I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, please. Starting in verse 18. God keeps his promises. He said it would happen in the Old Testament. He brought it about in the New Testament. Look at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found a child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, see, now this is going back to the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Here we see the fulfillment of the promise. God fulfilled what he said he would do. You can bank on it that what God says, he will do. You can take the promises that you have written down in tablets or written down somewhere, or you just know in your mind the promises that God has given you, and you can bank on it that it will happen, that God will bring it about. I want you to think of one promise in your mind that God has promised unto you this day. Just think about it. So, Pastor, I need to think a little. Well, thank you. That's okay. Thank you. Think a little bit. One promise. One promise. Whatever it is. Whatever, it might could be salvation of this, or what he said he'd do for you in the future, or whatever it is. Whatever it is. Whatever promise it is. Now you got it. Everybody has it in their mind. Everybody has it in their mind. Look at me over here. Look at me. God said he would fulfill it. Because he's a man of his word. What he said he would do, he will do it. You can bank on it. It's coming. If he spoke to you something, you can bank on it. It will happen. Okay? I know December 25th is coming around. That's this Wednesday. And I pray every one of you have a great Christmas. When you wake up that morning, before you think about what you're going to eat for breakfast, there's nothing wrong with that. Tell the Father thank you for sending his Son. Tell Jesus thank you for sending, for coming. And being born that day, or that you recognize that day. Take the time to say thank you. Whenever somebody gives you something, and you don't say, they give you something, there's no thank you. It hurts the heart, huh? Because we're human beings. You know, we want to give, and yet we expect to be appreciative of it. No. You know, especially, you know, working and you give and you do and they just take for granted, you know, and you're like, oh yeah, just a little bit of thank you, you know, because you went out of your way a little bit, you know, you did whatever, just a little bit of thank you. Tell Jesus thank you. Thank you. Tell God the Father thank you. Tell the Holy Spirit thank you, because they all had a part in that. But I want to tell you, Jelaine and I, we want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. I hope it is the best Christmas you ever had. I mean, you know, I know sometimes with loss of loved ones, it can be a little hard every once in a while. But God is a God that can heal the heart of man and can soothe that and put a salve on that hurt. But I hope you have the best Christmas ever. That you just wake up, you think about the Lord, the Spirit of God is with you, the anointing of the Spirit of God is upon your heart, and you just thank him for what he's done, what he has done for us. Because if he does nothing else, he's given more than enough to humanity and to us. So I pray this year is the greatest year for you. I pray you have a great Christmas, and the power of God is upon your heart and upon your life this year. You may stand, please.